And I'm going back to the fundamentals. Tonight's lesson is a fundamental lesson. Many of you here will know what I am talking on or going to be discussing. And this lesson does come out of an Apostolic Foundation lesson book by Brother Crawford Kuhn. It's lesson one. And the title of this lesson is, What Must I Do to Be Saved? What must I do to be saved? And I know many of you in here are like, oh, I know what to do to be saved, but it's all right. It's good to reiterate and go back to the basics. Amen. So Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 25, and we'll be reading through verse number 34. It says, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Excuse me. But Peter cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, this is where I want to focus. He said, What must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. But we know that's not just it. Believing is part of it. You got to believe, you sure. But that's just the beginning. In verse 32, he says, And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house, in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Wait a minute. So he said, believe. And now what is he saying? He said, and was baptized. So right there, we know just believing is not enough. You need to be baptized. He and all of his house immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat or food before them and rejoice, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for this wonderful time to come, God, together and magnify you and lift you up. We ask you, Lord, to bless this service, bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In each person's life, there comes a time when he or she feels the need to take some type of action or undergo some type of experience in order to be saved. The above question is of paramount importance to each generation. We are correct in concluding that we must do something to be saved. The understanding that we are lost without God, sinners are doomed, is absolutely correct. Since all have sinned, in Romans 3 and 23, we must become aware of our need of salvation from sin. The question besieges each individual somewhere in life. I join you in the quest for salvation. I too want to be saved from sin and everlasting punishment. But the question remains, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? This lesson's purpose is to explore fairly the scriptures, the proper expression of faith, the conversion experience that will initially save us from our sins. Later, we will study the continual life of faith as we remain in our salvation. Erring here spells eternal doom. Finding truth and obeying it will mean eternal joy in heaven in the end. We must have God's intervention and help to find and obtain salvation. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. The word save has several connotations in the Bible, ranging from physical to spiritual deliverance. This lesson deals with salvation or deliverance from sin that qualifies us for heaven when we die, or if the Lord returns for the church before we die. Save comes from the Greek word sozo, meaning to save, deliver, protect, heal, to preserve. Webster states that in theology, it means to deliver a person or soul from sin and punishment, or to redeem from spiritual death. Scripture references of being saved. Let us note the following scripture references that denote action on our part in order to be saved. Received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls in James 1 and 21. The emphasis is on the word of God. In Proverbs 21 and 18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. The emphasis here is on walking uprightly. Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. In Luke 7 and 50, the emphasis here is on faith. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Acts 11 and 14, you can see in Acts also 10 and again 11. Emphasis here is on the spoken word. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Emphasis here is entering in the door, i.e. Jesus. Even baptism doeth also now save us. Emphasis here is on water baptism. Save yourself from this untoward generation. In Acts 2 and 40, the emphasis here is on our own personal responsibility in our salvation. Y'all hear Pastor say it a lot, I can pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. And I can't save you. The only person that can save you is you. You've got to come to an altar of repentance and surrender your life to God. There's a story of a man, Pastor tells this in jail ministry. He was an Indian man and he wanted salvation. And so he comes to the altar and he brings his moccasins, you know, because he thought he could make a trade, and that's how it worked. And he put his moccasins on the altar and he began to pray and nothing happened. He was seeking the Holy Ghost. And so he thinks, okay, God, I've given you my best. So he goes back and this time he comes back with his bow and arrows. And he puts them on the altar. He's like, surely now I've given God my best. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And nothing happens. So next time he leaves, he comes back to service and he brings his war bonnet. It's his feather hat. And he lays it on the altar and guess what? Nothing happened. And then it finally dawned on him and it clicked. God didn't want his possessions. He didn't want his things, but he wanted him. And that next service, he came and he put himself on the altar. And when he did, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God doesn't want your possessions. He doesn't want your things. He wants you. And you have to surrender your life to him. You've got to surrender your life to him. It is your own personal responsibility. Amen. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Isaiah 45 and 22. Emphasis here is looking to God for our salvation. You're not going to find salvation in a bottle. You're not going to find it in a cigarette. You're not going to find it in a drug. You're not going to find it in a woman. You're not going to find it in a man. The only place you're going to find salvation is in God. And when all those things crumble, the world around you, God will always be there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Emphasis here is on believing. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Emphasis here is on grace and faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and 13, the emphasis here is calling on the name of the Lord. Not by works or righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Emphasis here is on his mercy. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. The emphasis here is on enduring. We're going to go through life. And there's going to be some hard times. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be ups and downs. But you've got to endure. Don't give up when life gets hard. Just keep on pressing. Just keep on going. Because the easy way out is thrown in the towel. And that's what the devil wants. But I'm going to encourage you, amen, to keep on going. Endure. For we are saved by hope. In Romans 8 and 24, emphasis here is on hope. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Emphasis is on believing and being baptized in water. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In Romans 10 and 9, emphasis here on is on confessing and believing. These verses come from various places in the Bible. Some were spoken by prophets, apostles, Jesus, Solomon, and Paul. Who is right? Do these verses contradict each other? Do we just use one verse, all 16 verses together, or three or four verses together to obtain a formula for salvation? We must use all 16 verses in context along with the rest of the Word of God as it relates to action on our part. We are in gross error if we fail to lead a sinner into every aspect of salvation and the conversion experience. In other words, it is wrong to tell a sinner simply to believe or to be baptized in water without spirit baptism, or merely to have hope or just to endure. We cannot isolate individual verses on salvation. We must embrace all the scriptures regarding salvation. There are other verses of scripture that we must consider in relation to our soul's salvation. May we carefully and rightly divide the word of truth at this juncture. The following are progressive steps we must take in receiving this great salvation. Subsequent lessons will cover more details on each point, but the first one is faith. From the Bible, we learn that it is essential to believe God in his word, or we will never take a positive step towards being saved. Faith is an absolute prerequisite in coming to God, yet faith in the sense of mental belief or is insufficient to obtain salvation from sin. Let us study the following verses of Scripture that relate to salvation. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and 6. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:16. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Romans 10 and 17. In whom ye also trusted, and in whom also after that believed, that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1 and 13. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Repentance. Repentance is one of the cardinal doctrines of the Bible. It is an action on our part in response to God's grace and because of our belief that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Our repentance demonstrates that we believe God and his word, for God's word plainly and simply teaches us that we must repent. We've got to repent. We've got to turn from sin and turn to him. Repentance, simply put, is a change of heart, mind, and direction. It's making an about face. It's an old military command. When they say repent, it's an about face. And we've got to do that to the world and to sin. We've got to turn from sin and turn to him. We all must come to a point of repentance in our life. In Luke 13 and 3, it says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In Mark 1 and 15, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Mark 2:17. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. But God is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Luke 24:47. And y'all know the scripture. Y'all can quote it with me. I'm sure Bobby and Kenny would help me out. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When we believe, we must repent. Repentance primarily means to have a change of mind and of heart. It consists of feeling sorry for our sins and asking God to forgive us of all of our sins. Moreover, in repentance, we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and in fulfilling this confession, we make an about face and live according to his word. The next step is baptism. Brother Neil's on point. He's listening. Amen. Baptism. Water baptism by immersion in the name of Neil. No? In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ is an essential part of salvation. The scripture says that it is the means by which the blood of Christ washes away sins. In Acts 22:16, we receive remission of sins through baptism in his name. Acts 2:38. John 3:5 says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The next scripture is Matthew 28:19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." We note that name here is singular, meaning that they're talking about one person, not two, not three, not four, amen, but one. And that one name is Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are simply titles. I am a brother, I am a husband, and I'm an uncle, but I'm not three different people. My name is Jesus. And many of you heard the analogy, but I'll say it again. If I was going to sign you a check for $1,000 and just put my titles, the bank wouldn't cash it. You need the name applied, because when the name is applied, there's financial backing to go with it. And so we've got to have his name applied in baptism. Acts 2:38 says, "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We need to study these verses. We need to look into them, amen, and dig more into them. Being baptized, amen, in what name? Jesus Christ, amen. So many people get this confused, amen, but we need to help people, amen, understand what the Word of God says. Not to argue with them, not to butt heads with them, but just to share God's Word with them. And so we repent, we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The next thing is receiving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter, whom Jesus sends back into the hearts and souls of those who believe in him. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood in Acts 20:28, began on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:1-4. On that day, many received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This experience is available today and is essential in our lives. If you've never experienced, amen, the Holy Ghost, it's for you. It's a gift that God wants to give to you. It's not just for me or Sister Kristen, but it's for each and every person in here today. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you've been in church since you were 3 or 4, you still need the Holy Ghost. Amen. praise God. So the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood in Acts 20 and 28, began on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 1 through 4. On that day, many received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This experience is available today. Amen. John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Jesus was teaching about the Holy Ghost in several verses in Acts and John. Amen. In Acts 2 and 4 it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." It's experiencing the Holy Ghost is life's most exciting event. We are highly honored by God to have this great gift. Amen. Being saved from sin and ready for heaven is life's most important pursuit. Salvation is more valuable than wealth, fame, or even life itself. God's word is the only source we have that tells us how to receive salvation. God has chosen to place nuggets of truth here and there in his word for us to seek out. The purpose of this lesson is to do just that. Try as I may, I cannot accept the idea that if I simply believe in my heart and make a confession with my mouth, that this alone constitutes salvation from sin. Amen. And I'm saying this, and he says it in here. I've read too much about faith, repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost to accept this proposal. Dare we accept fragments of truth on such a vital matter as salvation? Can we dwell on faith and ignore baptism? Shall we demand baptism and skip repentance? Can we be saved by accepting one part of the plan while rejecting the rest of the Bible? Preach. Amen. When we search out truth in its entirety and obey it, we can be saved. We must not be deceived by any persons or any denominational teaching. Instead, we must read the Bible and obey it. In doing so, we will find salvation. The Queen of Sheba traveled from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But one greater than Solomon is here, and his name is Jesus. How much have we sought after him and his plan of salvation? In our search for salvation, we should never forget the following verses. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so if the question is in your mind, what must I do to be saved? Amen. You've got to repent. You've got to get baptized in Jesus' name. And you need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't fulfill these, you can't make it to heaven. I'm sorry to tell you that. But it's not my word, it's God's word. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. If you've never fulfilled these plans, this plan of salvation, then you can't make it. Going to church doesn't mean you have salvation. Pastor said going to church don't make you a Christian, like going to McDonald's don't make you a Happy Meal. But if you want to be saved, you've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you have to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you want to. But it's a requirement that's found in the Word of God. And so I challenge you to dig into God's word if you're confused. Study these scriptures, amen, and seek out salvation. Because if you're truly sincere, God will reveal himself to you. And when you come into this house, amen, just begin to worship him, repent of your sins, and watch what God will do. Amen. If you're sincere, God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you've never experienced this truth and what God has, amen, he's here. Amen. And he wants to give you, it's a gift. More precious than anything in this world is the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's for you. Amen. If we could all stand as I close. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Bless it. Keep us safe as we travel home in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's go to heaven. How? Yes. All right.